Just like to apologize beforehand for the terrible audio quality here. This will probably be the last time that I allow Dr. Bionicle to record a show, as I really don't like my voice sounding like a Goa Wold and echoing really, really badly. Episode 11 of Tree Speak on the Air. I'm Spirit.
I'm Dr. Bionicle.
And I'm Layuela.
Over to Dr. Bionicle, DZ Power Report.
Well, as many of you have probably seen over the past few days or so, we've had a lot of Bionicle Heroes info. For one thing, we have the Bionicle Heroes site, quaintly titled BionicleHeroes.com. We also have a box cover image and an interesting little news article, which I don't know the source exactly, but it says, in Bionicle Heroes, players will be able to take control of all six Toa Niga. In addition, they will also have the opportunity to play as the Piraka 2, as well as one final bonus character. There will be no humans in Bionicle Heroes, thankfully. Players will begin the game using the tools of the 2001 Toa. As the game progresses, you will be able to purchase upgrades, ending up with those of the Toa Niga. We'll probably be receiving more information later as the game progresses and whatnot. Also, we have the new BZ Power Comic Reference Center. They basically started to archive comics, and as of current, the only one that they have is Bionicle Ignition number 1. In the Comic Reference Center, you're able to show small or large images, whichever you prefer, or whichever your computer will deal with, and they both conform to a good quality, though they might be harder to read as a small image. The Dark Hunter Guide has been released, which else to be said there. And we have the Piraga Contest winners in the latest LEGO magazine. The first prize winners are Elijah Hoke, hope I said that right, who is also known as Sidorok the Feared on VZ Power, Daniel Gomez, Gar and Keen Sechrist, and Daniel Walsh, and the grand prize winner is Benjamin Paksak. And comic number 2 is currently shipping, along with LEGO Magazine. Comic 2 is the first to feature Axon and Brutaka, mostly Axon, and it gives Inika teasers in the comic and also with an ad. So that would be the news.
Alright, on to the discussion topics. Topic 1, Bionicle Heroes. Personally, I'm really excited about this.
Yes.
I've read several reviews from searching on Google, and it sounds like a really good game.
Kind of interesting that they have the old Toa weapons in there.
Yeah, I find that interesting.
But I guess it's kind of sweet that you can have upgrades.
Yeah. You don't want to be changing the weapons.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering which age group they're going to be actually focusing on in this game, because I just remember on the last one, it was really kid-based, and I know that there's older fans out there. It just depends on the gameplay.
But from what we've seen in the trailer, I don't believe there's any actual physical contact made with like swords or anything. But you still get to blast things and make things blow up, which is always fun. Which kind of applies to a variety of age groups.
Well, I don't see why they would make it so that you can buy upgrades of swords and things. You can't actually use them. That's kind of a waste. Like, the Toa older weapons would be only used for attacking people hand-to-hand, don't you think?
Maybe you, for some reason, use Lewa's hatchet to climb a rock wall or something. Could be used to sort of help pass natural causes.
My guess is that the Inika weapons aren't different, really, but have a better sort of quality. Like, they have more effect, or they do a wider range, or are more accurate, or something of that sort. Which is what we see in a lot of games.
So they could be used for defense. I mean, they could have sort of defensive qualities against the enemies, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think? They mentioned a bonus character. Who do you think that's going to be?
Probably Vizon.
Yeah, most likely. But I think it'd be pretty cool if you could play as Axon or Brutaka.
Since you get to play as the Piraka, it makes more sense if you have Vizon as the bonus character.
True. If you are Vizon, you'll most likely be attached to Fenrock, because that's the way it works, and hopefully this is more storyline aligned this time. And I think that'd be interesting if maybe you could possibly do some sort of double attack with both Bizon and Fenrock. Actually have Fenrock, like, lash out at somebody.
I don't think that would work, because you see in the game how everyone has to be the same size, or else they won't be able to fit through things. So if you have Bizon and Fenrock, then you won't be able to fit through anything.
Well, there's always the convenient method of blowing through anything that gets in your way.
Yeah, but I mean, like, solid objects that are part of the game, you can't actually blow up.
If I do use Bizon and Fenrock, most likely they're going to make the entrances large enough for them to fit through. I can actually imagine Bizon alone without Fenrock.
From what I've heard, there are 25 levels and 6 different regions.
Which is a lot better than the last game.
Yeah. But since that doesn't fit equally into 6, it makes 24, so that's 4 in each region, which leaves a bonus level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think you have to get the bonus character.
Or possibly, like, a sort of boss level. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if there has to be any sort of boss. It's just a possibility.
Well, getting the Mask of Light.
Oh, yeah. That'd be kind of crucial.
The position of the camera for the game is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's not showing you the whole character.
Mm-hmm.
Like but it's not just showing you the hands, like Star Wars Battlefront and those kinds of games.
Third person without being third person.
It's 2.5.
What do you think about their I-beam powers?
Well, I don't think they actually have I-beam powers. I'm thinking that's more of a sighting sort of device. Like, I don't know.
Well, they seem to be able to use them to blow things up. So that's why I think it's some kind of mask power. Because you see Huki using them to sort of telepathically move pieces. And Matoro kind of uses his eye power to zoom in on things.
Like a sniper type function.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's I-beams or just their way of using masks.
Well, I kind of hope that each character will have sort of their own unique trait, like you said, like telepathy or able to zoom in, something that makes the character sort of unique. Like, instead of just, like, in Bionicle the game, where you commonly just had Toa that basically did the same thing, but, like, in a few exceptions they could do different things, like Liwa can naturally fly and Gali can swim and that sort of thing.
Well, I think it's more important in this game because on another review I read, it says that if instead of dying, one of your Toa disappears, you have to go find him in the level. So if you're playing as Jala and then you lose all of Jala's health, you have to go find him again.
Huh.
And so they probably wouldn't do that unless you absolutely needed him to get past through level.
Yeah, let's see. I've never actually heard of that sort of method before. That's a very interesting idea. Although I personally think the Paraka would really just kill them. But we're not... We probably won't be facing the Paraka all that much.
Yeah, because then you'd end up facing yourself when you become the Paraka.
Now, something I don't understand is why the Borok have been making frequent appearances in all these games. Like, you can see in a screenshot or in the trailer, there's a Tanok. You're shooting a Tanok. It doesn't make much sense to me, personally.
I think it's the Chamber of Nightmares.
That would be crazy.
Well, topic 2, the summer slash fall 2006 sets. So this is the Toa Inika, the Titans, the playsets, and yeah.
Axon's mask is probably one of my favorite masks ever, because it has a fin. It's like a mohawk, he's like a punk. It's like going with the whole gangster theme again. You see, it's what everyone has feared. Axon has a mohawk. I really like the color schemes that the Titans have, because they all have a sort of armor skin sort of thing, and they're working with colors that haven't really blended before, like silver and red, and blue and gold, which I really like. And it just seems more realistic to the Titanish sort of characters, especially for Order of Mat Nui type figures and whatnot.
From what I can see of the Toa Inika picks, I think the light things for their swords are different colors. Do you think they should have done that for the Paraka, their eyes?
I definitely think they should have done that for the Paraka, no doubt. I don't know really anything about manufacturing, but I can't imagine that it takes really that much effort to create different colors. And it would really fit more with what we've seen in Bionicle characters So far.
All the Paraka's eyes are red, right?
Yeah.
Sort of just makes it more that the evil red eyes.
They have red eyes, they are bad guys.
Oh my gosh, poet. Well, I think it's a little weird for Mike Hakan, because he's already red, and that just doesn't look that good.
Well, I mean, I don't think they could have pulled the Tahu with him and given him pink eyes. I think that would have sort of taken away from him. They could do it yellow eyes, like the Mad Nui Online.
Well, I don't know how I feel about Hakan with yellow eyes. Looks a little weird. Green eyes would be good.
Yeah, some of the eyes didn't work, because in Thok, it actually goes right through his skin, his Paraka face thing.
I would have liked to see Thok with blue eyes. That would have been cool. Looks a little different with the pearl white, even though I'm just kind of picky about that sort of thing.
Well, what do you think about the playsets?
Well, the minifigures are a lot better now, because you can actually move them, and their weapons are actually somewhat aligned with what they actually have. And they look more like the actual set. Like, Thok actually looks like Thok and everything.
And I think you can move their arms, too.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I dig the big Paraka head.
Yeah, that's cool with the skeleton and the ribs.
Yeah.
Axon's face appears to be, like, everywhere in these.
Yeah, it's like kind of this giant spider thing and the Zamor catapult.
Well, yeah, but it's like just very convenient because it's so round, and round is good in playsets.
Well, what do you think about that one where they have those Zammer cannons on the surfboards?
I was just about to say that. Well, I don't think it's all that unrealistic since you have Nuparo in the gang, and like all the Dumatorn, well, not all of them, but most of them are inventors and engineers and whatnot. So I think it's fairly plausible that they'd have cannons on their little surfboard things.
Well, it's not just plausibility, it's just kind of silly.
Well, so is blasting beams out of your eye. That doesn't stop
at least
others
that
from
looks
doing
cool.
It. Well, what are you saying? This doesn't look cool?
Blasting beams of whatever out of your eyes looks cool no matter what you're doing, but surfing and shooting people out of a with a cannon is just, I don't know, it just seems silly to me.
The cannons are like as big as they are.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a little unrealistic. You'd probably fall into the lava then. It always surprises me that in these types of situations, it seems that anyone who ever gets on any sort of surfboard or anything knows how to surf. Just naturally. It seems to be in their bones. Isn't it Nuparu and somebody else on the surfboards? I don't know who. But you just naturally assume that they can surf down this lava chamber into this outpost where there are these six guys with cannons and eyes that can burn your guts or something, and they're all going to kill you, and you have to stay balanced with this giant cannon that's threatening to flip you over.
Yeah, that's my point.
And you just ride the waves naturally.
That's why they're tough. Yeah. Because they're cool.
Yeah. Yes. And they have amazing ability to balance and surf and whatnot. Okay, I'm looking at this lava chamber gate, and I see what you mean. Okay. Let me give you a visual of these surfing lava board things, since a lot of you probably aren't looking at the side image right now. So you have this little dinky surfboard that's a little bit taller than you are, and you are riding on this little stud on the surfboard. In front of you, you have a cannon that is about the size of a refrigerator and looks about the same weight, and you have balls that are bigger than your body in that cannon, and you are going to shoot them out with a lever that is bigger than your entire body. It's pretty unproportionate overall.
And if you think about it, the actual amount of energy you need to fire something that big would, like, tip you over, and then you just fall into the lava.
The Vizorok playsets, Metronome, whatever you call it, were a lot more realistic because they had catapults that did all this work. They didn't have any launcher sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, the catapults in last year's playsets didn't work very well.
Yeah, these look like they might work a little better.
On top of the whole thing with the surfboard, you're also holding tools. because the figures are also holding, like, big tools, too.
Yeah. So they're going to do this with one hand while they're holding a tool, keeping balance, trying not to fall over, and they have to push in this giant sort of button. It's just kind of funny.
What if the other throw a tape back to see how long it takes until one of them falls in?
Because I imagine that it would keep falling over, actually, playing with it. The only reason it probably won't fall over all the time is because the surfboard is so long.
Yeah.
Probably always have to have somebody on it. That's what it sort of appears, that the figures themselves balance it out. But then when you take the figures off, then junk.
I think the designs are really pretty cool. And they use a lot of kind of curved pieces, like the horns and Takanuba staffs and tentacles and everything. And they look pretty cool because it's all rugged and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking at the Paraka outpost right now, and they have this blunt launcher, and they have these sort of curved pieces that surround it that make it look really cool, like some sort of futuristic thing that you'd see in the current BBC. Well, it's kind of a combination of technology and sort of a rustic sort of feel, like a, it's just kind of like Metronui meets Voinui in the playsets.
How do you think these compare to last year's?
Well, like I said, the minifigures are a lot better, but the overall buildings and such aren't, I think, as well unified as the last set. You know, they have a few more gaps in them and stuff, and it's doesn't look quite as smooth as it did last year. I don't know if that makes any sense.
The game, though, seems to be a little bit more uniform this time around. As much as the buildings and such are sort of weird in their spacing and such, I think it might be a little bit more uniform than last time when it comes to the color scheme and such.
Yeah, so, like, there isn't much point buying all of them because they look pretty much all the same.
Yeah. And one thing I've noticed is that these sets are more aimed towards battle. Like, the last year's sets, they kind of had multi-purpose. They weren't so much battle-centered. Like, there were secret passages and that kind of thing. This one is, like, all cannons and chariots and quadrupeds and weapons of doom and teeth and whatnot.
You can use the cannons and shoot out the teeth of the Paraka head. That'd be cool.
They're bringing out the giant headpiece again. And I noticed something about the Paraka Stronghold. It has this interesting little feature where it has this little ramp thing where you can sort of store your Zamor, and you can just pick them up and load them into your little rapid-fire Zamor thing, so it's an easy sort of storage system.
Yeah, from what I can tell, the Paraka were built first, and then the set testers saw that it would be a good idea to store the Zamor somewhere, but they'd already built the Paraka, so when you see later sets like Urnok and the playsets, they actually have places to store the Zamor.
I hope we see some of this stuff in the actual comics, because looking at the Paraka outpost, this thing that Kongu is riding, this big, I don't know what you call it, has six legs, and some sort of drill thing or something, but it's pretty awesome, because there's this whole big, like, balcony thing, and there are cannons mounted on it and everything. If we see this kind of thing in the comics with, like, Sager doing the art, it's going to look pretty awesome. And I noticed the weapons are a little more aimed towards the actual sets. Not so much with the Paraka, but with the Toa Nika.
What do you mean?
Well, last year, like, we had Vakama with a staff with a claw on the end, which doesn't relate to Vakama at all, that sort of thing. They actually look like they're designed after the set, some of them. Like, Hali and Kongu and Jaller's swords actually look like the actual set by some means, which is a step up from last year.
Topic 3, Ignition number 2.
Alright.
So in Canada, issue hasn't come out yet, so I'm just gonna not say anything.
Leo Levin, have you gotten it yet?
No, actually.
Okay, well, I'm gonna just sit over here and talk to myself for the whole topic. Okay, well, just to let you know, if you don't want me to spoil the comic for you, you might want to turn down the volume or, like, just plug your ears and start singing or something. Okay, just to give you an overview, in this comic, we see the Paraka fighting for no particular reason. Zacton breaks them up, surprisingly. And we see a little info about Vizon, which is provided by Zacton and Vizog. And Thok and Rydok are sent to find Vizon. They never found him in the comic. And on the way, Axon meets up with the guys, and he kind of whoops them big time. He doesn't decapitate them or anything, but he does slam their heads together, which is fun. And he does deflect their eye beams and everything. There's this one kind of cool part where Rydok is picking up a boulder to throw at him, and Axon throws his axe and it smashes through the boulder, which I was kind of disappointed by, actually. So I was expecting like him to cut off his head or something. But anyway, he comes back in a boomerang sort of style and lands in his hand.
Nice.
And then Axon's about to destroy them, which I was looking forward to. But he gets blasted in the back by Brutaka. And it ends with one panel with Brutaka, which is the only time we see him in this comic. Like, he's about to kill Axon and everything. And that is the cliffhanger of the month. So we get to see the duel, hopefully, next comic. Well, since nobody else has anything to say...
Yeah.
Well, Axon looks awesome. He actually looks tall-ish compared to what he actually is. He looks more Brutaka size, actually. His fingers aren't done how you might think, but they look good.
There's, like, one pose where he's doing that finger thing that Uncle Sam does.
You want you?
Yeah.
He's very patriotic. Oh, where he's, reaching down to point at the Baraka.
That would make a good edit.
I want you to be a premier member. His mask looks pretty good. It actually looks real, and he still has the mohawk thing, which is good. He looks good in it. But what I notice is that, you know how he has the little sort of triangle cutouts on the side? Well, in those, you see, like, the background instead of, like, his head, or just having them filled in, which kind of gives the impression that his head is, like, smashed in at the cheeks, so that he looks like, I don't know, some sort of clay character or something. The armor is kind of welded together, so that it doesn't really look like separate pieces, like Randy Elliott always did. He kind of played up the claws on Brutaka. I'm guessing that since he's kind of crouching over Brutaka in a sort of Spider-Man type stance, he's gotta look threatening, so you don't want these little perfectly aligned claws and everything. Mm. So they actually look sharp, and they actually look menacing. It ends with the teaser of the Anika, which looks fairly cool to most fans, because, well, as a lot of these viewers have said, you don't see their masks, so they look cool.
Well, how do you think this airs to the last one?
Well, the comic isn't as big. I will say that. It's not nearly as big. And the thing about it is it's all focused around one battle in particular, and it seems sort of short compared to the supersize we had last time, which is only natural. Mm. And there wasn't quite as much going on, but the action was still there, but we didn't see quite as much as much of it, because we were focusing on one specific thing.
I suppose that's good, because in the first comic, they have to kind of introduce everything,
yeah,
and now they're just kind of continuing from that idea.
On a violence level, it's pretty much the same. Although it's not quite as suggestive as the other one. It's not like it doesn't show potential murder, because there isn't anybody that gets murdered. There is actually physical contact in this one for the first time in, like, ages. He breaks a boulder, and Rydok falls to the ground. He picks them both up, and they're squirming, and he bonks their heads together. It's kind of funny, actually. I didn't think the colors were quite as good in this one. I don't know why. I'm guessing that was mainly because most of the comic then was placed in a sort of darker environment, so it looked a little more mysterious and vague. And this one, it's more out in broad daylight, and it's Axon, so he has to look shiny and everything.
So
I don't know.
Making it bright, it makes everything look sort of monochromatic.
Out of place. Sort of. Yeah.
Previews in the comic.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't much... preview, really. There was a teaser for the Toa Anika, but that was about it. The Toa Anika, you know, since it's a teaser.
Video games?
I don't think there was anything for the video games. I'm not sure. There might have been a little something. I don't know. I remember seeing, like, the common web updates and whatnot, and there was a little Toa Anika spoiler, like the Borok teaser poster we had, where, like, you see the little eye out of this little ball. You remember? This one, it's like they're all dark and shadowy, and you just see their eyes and their outlines.
Topic 4 has been submitted to us by the great Protodermis Sea Dragon, and he would like us to discuss how the gear functions are disappearing in the sets. They kind of started to go in 2005 when the Toa Hordika were pretty much the only things with gears, and then they only had one gear. And now they've completely removed them.
Something to be noted is that we have no idea how long this thing is going to go on, or if it's even going to last into next year. The light-up features and whatnot seem to be something... This seemed to be the fad this year, like the projectiles in 2004, 2005. It's very possible that we'll have Gears next year. It's just something they were doing this year, just to play around with.
Yeah, I guess they figured that they shouldn't load up with too many, like, you could shoot, you could light them up, and their gears also move, yeah.
Yeah, because I found the, like, the Paraka, even, not even the set, like, they had so many storyline powers, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, they have eye powers, physical powers, elemental powers, Zamor, some other power.
Yeah. From an MOCer's point of view, the gears aren't very useful as pieces because you don't commonly use gears in MOCs because you don't commonly use any sort of special action or feature. They're usually just there.
Well, I think that would be a good BBC contest.
BBC
that would be a crazy
action.
BBC contest. Don't ever give them that idea again, ever. Because then there would be a mass of terrible MOCs with gears.
The catch would be that you have to submit it in video so you could prove that your mod actually does something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then we have
well,
like
you could, like, use stop frame animation.
We'd have a swarm of video.
Okay,
of
so you have five contestants.
Brickshelf would die. Why do you think they decided to completely get rid of gears entirely in 2006?
Well, there
as
wasn't
opposed to, like,
much
having
use.
Just one set.
There wasn't much use for gears in 2006 because there weren't any masks. Common use for gears is to battle, like knock each other's masks off and stuff, and that just seems kind of pointless now that there aren't any masks to knock off since they're all attached to.
I imagine the Toa Inika's masks would be very interesting to knock off because, like you said, I think last episode or maybe not, that both their heads and their masks are made out of Krata rubber, so that they'll have very good friction. They'll also knock off very easily.
They could be knocked off. They're not like those heavy-duty masks, like Takanuha masks.
Yeah. You see, those are good because they don't fall off by mistake, but they're not very good for battle.
Yeah.
Right.
I think the Inika will bring back that defeat ability of Toa.
Problem with the Inika is that they're attached over the entire head, so you have to uppercut them or decapitate them, your choice. You can't really knock them from the side and expect to win. And really, the arms are usually way too flimsy to do anything really specific. Like, if you battled Liwa and Gali, like, if you started hitting Gali with your axe, Liwa's arm would, like, bend all the way up to the limit of his shoulder because his arms were so flimsy. And the same thing kind of goes with Vekoma or any other set, really, because it's not very controlled that way. I don't think you could really hit off on Anika's head without just, like, beheading it. Which I'm not saying that's not fun, but...
I remember doing that all the time.
And that's all for episode 11 of Tree Speak on the Air. I'm Spirit.
I'm Dr. Bionicle.
And I'm Alewa 11.
Ow! You're throwing erasers at me. Stop. Hold on a second. This is family hour with Dr. Bionicle. Will you please leave the room? You're like Emma was already in here. Now you're in here. Why are you in here? Leave the room before I throw an eraser at your head. Don't throw that at me.
Is erasers the weapon of choice, I guess?
Oh crap! Ow! That's a bottle.
Glass bottle.
Okay.
Does this happen often?
No, it was like a plastic thing.
Wow.
Leave now before I tell Mom, okay? We're gonna edit that out. The little thing about the Mom. Leave now. Before I throw this Darth Vader helmet at your head. I'm not afraid to do that. I don't care. I'll throw the Xerox thing at your head. I don't care.
Wow.
This is is ridiculous. Leave now. We're all like...
Well, this is going to bloopers.
We're all reveal all your personal head? Information on national radio. They will. I'll give your exact location.
International, actually.
Well, whatever. And they'll all hunt you down and stalk you, right, Spirit?
Oh, yes.
Right, Spirit?
I said, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I heard him say it.
Now, you see, they'll stalk you, and they'll... What are you going to do? They're going to burn your books and cut your hair. Draw. You don't have any hair. Well, then they'll put permanent marker on your forehead. No, now you see, Spirit will come out of Canada and he'll come and like put marker all over your head. By
put
the magic
a beaver on his
of
head.
PayPal. What are you throwing at me now? No, don't throw the tape dispenser.
Oh, wow.
Leave now. Please. Leave now, or I'll tell Dylan. Leave now, or I'll tell Mom. Leave now, or I'll tell Dad. Why aren't you leaving? See, this is the kind of thing I have to put up with. Okay,
use
if
violence.
You're going to be here, you have to be absolutely quiet. Absolutely. That means no throwing things in my head, that means no laughing, that means no
Dr.
talking,
Dylan's
that means nothing.
More violent than all of Bionicle itself?
Okay.
I think that's an accurate assessment.
Moving right along.
Yes.
After that interesting little bout, we're trying to recover here.
Which will be going in the bloopers.
And stop making noise with the paper.